This week, all eyes in the political world are going to be on the Midwest. The reason?
It's special election season in Ohio.
Special election season in Ohio. I know, doesn't sound too exciting, which our politics editor, Scott Bland, he's aware of.
It's the middle of summer, not a time people are usually thinking about politics. And then you layer on top of that, these are both safe seats, more or less, for these two parties.
See, there are two congressional primaries in different parts of the state happening tomorrow. One is for a seat that was held by Marcia Fudge, a Democrat who left to become Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, and another that was held by Republican Steve Stivers, who stepped down to head up Ohio's Chamber of Commerce. And as Scott said, these are both safe seats. A Democrat's expected to take Fudge's job, and a Republican's probably going to take over for Stivers, which sounds like not much is going to change. On paper, these are just not the most exciting kinds of races.
But they can be really interesting because this is where change in Congress happens. It's not so much with, you know, challengers beating incumbents in primaries. That happens sometimes. But most of the change that happens in Congress is from older members retiring or resigning or what have you. And then they get replaced. And the manner in which they get replaced and kind of the forces shaping those campaigns tell us a lot about what the parties are and where they're headed in the future.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today,
the race to replace Secretary Marcia Fudge in Congress has entered the next phase.
It's a crowded field vying for former Congressman Steve Stivers' seat. And today,
Scott Bland on the two contentious Ohio primaries that could be an indication of where the two parties are headed in the post-Trump world. Let's start with the Democratic seat formerly held by Marcia Fudge in northeastern Ohio. Who is running to replace her? And what are the political dynamics at play in this primary?
The two main candidates are Nina Turner, who was the chair of Bernie Sanders' 2020 presidential campaign and one of his top and most well-known surrogates.
Medicare for All would not still be being debated if it was not for that progressive movement, canceling student debt, legalizing marijuana.
Versus Chantel Brown, who is a county councilwoman in the Cleveland area, Cuyahoga County.
As a youth ministry leader, I have young people looking at me, so leading by example is important. And I've been living here, and I'm not going anywhere.
Who has kind of adopted the traditional Democratic establishment mantle versus the Sanders-aligned Nina Turner.
This race has become, you can use any word you want, contentious, heated, nasty. Did you expect it to get this way?
You know what? I can't say that I'm completely surprised. Past behavior.
Like many races that have fallen along these lines, it's gotten very tough, pretty brutal.
There's only one candidate out of those 13 who put a red box up on their website to invite dark money, dirty money to come in here millions of dollars at a time to come in here and upset this seat. People who do not even care about this district.
The gloves are off and the mudslinging is well underway between Cuyahoga County Democratic Party Chair Chantel Brown and former Ohio State Senator Nina Turner.
You know, this is a really big opportunity for the progressive left in the Democratic Party. They've been making some strides and kind of building up their strength in Congress the past few election cycles. And 2022 is going to be a really big year for them. You've got redistricting going on that's going to scramble districts everywhere. There's usually a lot of retirements surrounding that. There's going to be a lot of opportunities for them to go after some open seats, maybe to go after a few incumbents like they have in the past who are going to be in kind of newer and unfamiliar territory. Mm-hmm. You know, this is kind of the first test run of a wave of these candidacies that we're going to see over the next year. On the flip side, you've got Sanders and others supporting Turner. You've got the Congressional Black Caucus, the political arm of the Congressional Black Caucus supporting Brown, which has really ruffled some feathers because Brown and Turner are both black. And it's unusual to see the CBC picking sides in a race between two black women. Joyce Beatty, the congresswoman from Ohio, who's the chair of the CBC, and other CBC members have spoken out about this, and they don't like Turner. They find her abrasive. They don't like that she speaks out against fellow Democrats as frequently as she does. And in particular, they don't like that she compared voting to Joe Biden to eating a bowl of excrement, and that she has kind of criticized Jim Clyburn, the number three Democrat in the House and a black man from South Carolina, for not doing enough to capitalize on you know, his role in boosting Biden, for not like getting enough back from that in terms of policy wins. And Beatty and others really don't like her. And kind of a funny twist, Beatty and a handful of other senior black House Democrats are holding an event for Brown in the same building that Bernie Sanders is holding an event for Turner in the closing days of the campaign. So it's quite the split screen there.
Okay, so in Cleveland, there's this pretty contentious showdown between the progressive wing and the more traditional wing of the Democratic Party, with lots of national figures now getting involved in the race. What about the other race in central Ohio? What's going on in that primary for the traditionally Republican-held congressional seat?
Yeah, you know, there's a bigger cast of main characters, I think, in that 15th district, the Republican primary. Mm-hmm. There's Jeff Luray, a state legislator who has been endorsed by Steve Stivers, the former congressman who held the seat. And Stivers is actually spending a bunch of money out of his old campaign account to boost this guy. There's another state rep, Ron Hood, who's backed by Rand Paul. And then there's a woman, Ruth Edmonds, who's a church leader who got backing from Debbie Meadows, who's the wife of Trump's former White House chief of staff, Mark Meadows. And she has this group that boosts female Republicans. Mm. And, you know, the thing that I think has generated the most interest there is that Donald Trump got involved.
Voters in Ohio's 15th congressional district have a very long slate of candidates to get through in the special election set for August, but former President Donald Trump is trying to help them make up their mind.
He gave an endorsement to Mike Carey, who's a former energy lobbyist. And, you know, it's interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, you know, there doesn't seem to be any particular reason why Trump would have had to put his name on the line here. Hmm. Most candidates running in Republican primaries are Trumpy to some extent, and as are a number in this primary. But now that Trump has jumped in, kind of his cachet is on the line, right? And we just saw actually a Trump-endorsed candidate lose in kind of an odd Republican versus Republican special election in Texas last week.
I'm looking at the front page tonight of the Texas Tribune, and I'm going to read you the headline, which is, in a major upset against a candidate backed by Donald Trump, Jake Elzey wins runoff for Fort Worth area congressional.
His chosen candidate lost to the other Republican who made the top two for this runoff. Mm-hmm. But what I think the former president's political advisors are concerned about is if Carey, his candidate in Ohio, loses on the heels of Susan Wright, his candidate in Texas, losing, there's this appearance of him losing clout within the party, and that would be a big thing, right? Like, you know, the party is really his right now.
It's kind of fascinating here how you have one race that's this big test of how progressive the Democratic Party wants to go, and you have this other race that's a big test of how Trumpy the Republican Party wants to go or wants to stay. What do you think these two primaries reveal about the politics of this moment, of the post-Trump Joe Biden era?
You know, the Democratic primary that we've been talking about, Brown has definitely kind of put a lot of weight on the idea that she wants to go to Washington to work with fellow Democrats, work with her party, work with the White House, and kind of contrasting that with Turner's more left-leaning ideology and her willingness to call out people who kind of aren't living up to what she sees as right based on that. And so, you know, I think it will be somewhat telling what Democratic voters in that district decide to make of that question, you know, and it's a very interesting counterpoint to Trump, right? Where, like, if, you know, a Republican candidate who criticizes Trump in more or less any way, except maybe saying that, oh, they don't like the mean tweets, like anything kind of more substantive than that, they usually get like bashed over the head with it in a primary and then they lose. You know, Turner could well win in a situation where everyone knows that she's not a huge fan of Joe Biden. And I, you know, that's kind of interesting, right? Like that says a lot about the kind of like different ways the parties are set up at the moment. And then, you know, with the Republican primary outside Columbus, I think, again, there's so many local factors going on in these races. There's so much beyond who the endorsers are and stuff like that. But I think it does, almost no matter the result, I think it just does shine a light that, like, Trump's endorsement is not the only thing that matters in Republican politics right now. Mm. The way the race has played out is kind of an interesting reminder that Trump is not everything that's going on here. Even if his kind of cachet and his influence is on the line a little bit.
Scott Bland, thanks so much for talking with me.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also, today, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says he does not think the U.S. will need to re-enter lockdown as the Delta strain of the coronavirus drives surges in new cases across the country. Speaking to ABC over the weekend, Fauci did warn that, quote, things are going to get worse as the Delta variant continues to spread, and cast the blame on the some 100 million Americans who are eligible for the vaccine but have not received it. Fauci also cautioned about breakthrough infections among vaccinated individuals, which he said is to be expected because no vaccine is 100% effective. But in those cases, he said, individuals experience mostly mild or non-existent symptoms, and noted that unvaccinated people have a much greater chance of getting infected in the first place. And new federal filings show that former President Donald Trump's political committees brought in a whopping $82 million during the first half of 2021 and have $102 million in the bank. The figures, which were first shared with Politico, underscore the profound reach of Trump's fundraising power, and the scenario is virtually unprecedented. Never in history has a former president banked nine figures worth of donations to power a political operation. Today's episode included music composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. Be sure to subscribe to Politico Dispatch if you haven't yet, and if you want to help us out, tell a friend to check out the show. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.